Hold on, I gotta get my laptop for the script. Mm.
I gotta get my script top for the lap.
Okay. All right. Jackson's the funny guy in the episode. Okay, Jackson's got jokes this week.
Mm-hmm.
We're in for a change this time because Jackson's got jokes this week, huh?
It's in the name.
I'm sorry, Jokeson. I won't be funny.
You better not. We all have a role.
Okay.
Camden is Star Wars. I'm everything. And you are here because I let you.
Okay.
Welcome back to Roomies Talking Movies, the next best stop for all things movie news and reviews. I'm your host, Danon, and joining me today, as always, is my own cat with boots, Jackson.
I'm here.
And my own 9-foot blue alien friend, Camden.
He gets to be Puss in Boots.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm John Mulaney.
No, you're an alien.
You're Avatar.
You're talking about, this is the second movie we're talking about. Yes. I thought you were referencing the big guy in the movie.
No, there's also no 9-foot blue alien.
I'd say he's about 9 feet, and he's like a purplish hue.
Okay, regardless. Our New Year's resolution is to treat each other kinder.
It's not going well.
And not waste time on movies we don't care about. So this week, we are going to start off with an amazing animated film of Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, and then Avatar 2. But before we do that, we've got more news than you could kick an alien whale at.
Yeah, that checks out. Yep.
It was like one of those things that I said it and I was like, you could kick a
really
whale
anywhere. It didn't really work.
Let's start off with a news section that we are going to do. A news section that we're doing. I thought with all the continuous sequels and spinoffs and double downs and cancellations, I thought we'd just compile whatever happens throughout the week at the beginning so that way we're done with it. So we got some new seasons coming up. The Last of Us, with only 3 episodes so far, has already been picked up for his second season, so it's doing good. And they confirmed that the second season will do Last of Us Part 2, so they'll probably
be a
few
years.
They
might need more than a season, though, is what the creator said. He was like, well, before it got like renewed for season 2, he was like, well, we don't really know what we're doing for Part 2 because we think it's probably more than a season, so, you know. So I think probably 3 seasons is my guess.
Maybe they'll do like a weird in-betweeny.
I think they're, probably. I think in the third season, though, they're going to go beyond what the games did, is my guess. Like, they're not just going to stop at the end of the second game. Like the end of the second game will happen, like, halfway through the third season or something, you know?
Yeah, but then if they go past, then the games are spoiled, and no one's going to buy the games.
And then they make the third Last of Us.
They make the third Last of Us.
I
was like, I watched the show. Why would I play through this?
I already know.
Although I do know that they are making, like, notable differences between the show, or, like, the game story and the show story. Mm-hmm. There's small differences, but it's like, instead of fighting 12 zombies here, they fight 2 because it's, like,
more dangerous because
they're real people and not just video game characters.
And Pedro Pascal isn't in the video
game. Pascal is not in the video game.
That's
so they care about him 10 times more.
Yes. Like if anything happens to Pedro Pascal, I'm never watching the show again.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily for us, the show's looking good so far.
Yeah, I love it.
Back to the seasons, we got a pickup for Abbott Elementary after it swept at the awards this year. It took home a bunch of them. I think it's a pretty fun show. So seeing it get picked up for a third season, that's good. I'm all for that. But I don't give a shit about those first two because Phineas and Ferb have been picked up for 20 more episodes.
Let's go.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'd like to say, I think I manifested this personally. Mm-hmm. And hear me out on this one. Mm. Over winter break, I listened to a lot of the Phineas and Ferb songs because I was like, oh, this is a fun thing to
because
do
because
I'm
depressed.
Bored and depressed. And so I sat there in the loft.
In a dark room.
No, I was with my family and we all watched the Phineas and Ferb songs. And then like a couple weeks later, they come out with new seasons. Really?
This is for the Powell family.
We made this specifically for Camden Powell and his family. Thanks, Dan.
Well, be happy for that. And then the other ones got picked up and I don't really care about those ones. Phineas and Ferb and bust, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
We got sequels. Who loves a good sequel?
Not me.
All right. Well, we have Megan 2.0. For the movie that got released earlier this month about that killer
Mathrigan.
Toy. Mathrigan 2.
Mathrigan 2.
I think Matugan would have worked better.
Matugan?
But that's neither here nor there.
I wish they followed the Fast and Furious franchise.
They just start putting numbers in it.
Yeah.
Although we know that they can call it Mathrigan if they get a third one. They just call it that.
And they definitely will.
They're gonna.
They already pretty much did with the first one.
Yeah.
The E was just 3 lines.
It will get confusing.
It will.
And then we have Violent Night 2, which I'm happy to hear about. The first movie was fun. Did you guys end up watching it over Winter Break?
No, I didn't.
Sorry.
No, it's just, you weren't supposed
no,
to.
No, I mean, really it just sorry, feels like Danon. You really wanted us to watch
Violent Night. It feels like we let Violent you down. Night.
No, I watch a lot of movies, so you have to understand that, like, you could not possibly keep
Wait,
up with
Wait, are you
us.
In a movie podcast?
I have a movie podcast.
Do you happen to have a movie podcast?
I'm on a niche podcast called Roomies Talking Movies. There I have one of the most attractive people I've ever met sitting there. And then I also have Jackson.
Whoa.
Wow, that was a curveball.
You didn't know which way it was going. Curveball. You didn't know which way it was going. Was the fear in both of your eyes, that's so what I live sad. For. Is it time to
My
move on to a
broken.
Third sequel?
Maybe.
I guess.
Knives Out on that one. Knives Out 3.
What are they going to call this one, Dan?
Isn't it called something pumpkin when it becomes like a third one? Isn't it not a sequel anymore? It's a, do they call it a threequel?
You could call it a
threequel. I think people
but
call
it's an,
it a threequel.
No, but it's an additional film.
Trilogy.
What do you want threequel. From me?
It's the Knives Out
it's
trilogy.
It's the third movie.
Oh, threequel is a word. That's
yeah.
stupid.
Well, you got mad at me when I, what was it like? A quintilogy or something. It was like, what is a collection of five movies? And then I said it and then you got really mad because it wasn't a word. And then you looked it up and you're like, I hate you just because I knew that the word existed. So yeah, the threequel for Knives Out, which is
really
fun.
Quickly. Jackson, what would you call someone who like has to be opposite of everything? Like they see something and they're like, oh, I don't like that. Like they need to be different. You
a
know?
Dipshit.
Well, I guess I was a dipshit at Starbucks today because I saw that there was only one green cup and I was like, I like the color of this cup. And then Camden made me feel so bad because he's like, you only like it because it's different.
It was the only green cup there.
That's
and the rest were like red
good.
And black. And he was like, oh, I really like this one. It was an ugly shade of green. No one would want that cup. It was clearly the runt of the litter there for a reason still. And you wanted it because it was different.
It was being sold for 50 cents. He was trying to get rid of it.
Contrarian, though? Any other words?
I feel like contrarian's a good one.
I think there's too many shows. So how about we cut some of them off?
Specifically from the same like branding.
Yes. So moving on to canceled shows. Titans and Doom Patrol are finishing up on their fourth season.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, oh, James Gunn's already ruined DC. And James Gunn had to go and say, guys, this happened. I didn't have
I did not do
this
yeah. one.
I remember we talked about this like months ago, mm-hmm. no? Mm-hmm.
But like, they are officially like
they're
in the
gone.
Can after these ones.
Damn.
Which sucks because Doom Patrol was good and Titans was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man.
It's always sad to see a show get canceled before like it needs to be
it
canceled.
It fully finishes.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of canceled, let's move on to DC News, huh?
Ooh, I don't boy. Know why that wasn't in DC News, but I get that.
It was a part of the sequel, new seasons and canceled shows.
Yeah,
we don't have a name for
the catchy
it.
Title.
We need a name for it.
Who wants more
seasons,
of this?
Season sequels and shows.
Okay. Seasons falls under shows, though.
Show seasons and sequels.
Triple S?
Ooh. What if we call it shows, sequels, and scrapped?
It doesn't flow off the tongue.
Yeah, you can't.
Especially
you can't
for someone
scrapped.
Like me. You know that's insensitive as I'm tongue-tied. Mm. And that's more difficult for me to say.
Moving on to DC News.
Production has begun on Joker. Fully adieu.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Way to be grammatically correct.
Thank you. You know how much I pride myself on that.
Okay, how many
I'm
dance scenes are we getting in this movie?
Too
It'll
many.
Be majority dance scenes, I'm pretty sure.
I hope so.
It's a movie musical.
Yes.
I mean, it better be.
Yeah.
A musical.
I think this is going to be the best movie we've ever seen.
I doubt it.
Yeah, and that's because you're a hater.
But Dana, you guys don't even like the Joker. You just want to make me upset.
It wasn't
I'm the Joker,
as
baby.
Bad as you make
I
it.
I like that movie. I genuinely
I
like the movie.
I don't think it's like the worst thing ever, but people are
yeah,
like,
you
this
do.
You literally
cinema.
Do.
It
I
didn't.
Recall you saying last week, Joker with Joaquin Phoenix is the worst movie ever. That's a direct quote from Dana and everybody.
Well,
direct
I might
quote.
Be wrong after
direct
this
quote.
Week.
In sad news,
oh,
put your sad glasses on for a moment.
What are sad glasses?
It's the glasses you wear when you're sad.
I should have pieced that together.
Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot are officially out of their roles in the DCU, with their cameos reportedly being cut from The Flash.
Dang.
Damn.
What?
I didn't
now,
see
now
that
do you understand
coming.
Why you I had
I
to put your
sad
glasses
on? That sucks. Why? They just got him back.
That's really dumb. Unless they're planning on keeping Ezra Miller as the main Flash and like using this movie as their jumping off point, that's a dumb decision. Because if you're throwing away this character anyways, just keep their cameos in so people can see the heroes for one last time.
Yes.
dumb.
How fun would it be to see like the Justice League solving a crime and then the Flash does like the Flashpoint thing where he runs like, oh, this bomb's going to go away. And so he runs after it and then accidentally stumbles into it. But instead, it's just going to be Batman on a motorcycle going, turn left, Barry. And then he's going to run into a different thing.
Yeah.
Stupid. You're stupid, Jackson.
Jackson, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
It's all your fault.
At least we still have The Rock.
You know what? Tim's gonna know, okay?
The Rock is out as a Black Adam for the time being in the DCU. While Zachary Levi says his future with DC is all Gucci.
That's not anymore.
Just...
You do not see his recent tweets.
What happened?
Oh, he's anti-vax apparently.
Oh.
And he's tweeting about it.
What did he do?
He tweeted some article about from 2009 with Pfizer where they, I guess, had a lawsuit for misadvertising one of their medications or something from 2009.
Yeah.
And like he quote tweeted something where someone said like Pfizer is like the true evil in the world. Why aren't we talking about this? And he said something like true and like an emoji or something like that. And then he started tweeting like the articles to like try and back it up. And everyone was like, man, you might have had a shot, but probably not now, you know?
Yeah.
Not a good choice there, Zachary.
What are you doing, Jackson?
I need to educate these people apparently. I learned about the code vaccine, and it is so simple. Like, I don't understand how people can't get it through their head that this thing works.
Well, they get
works.
It through their arm.
Oh, right. I forgot some people got the vaccine.
You understand.
No, mine was injected straight into the brain.
The temple? Through the temple?
It went through the skull, passes the blood-brain barrier. You don't need
anything.
They
went through your soft spot on your head. Oh, God. Put the needle in.
They said, do you agree or not that Pfizer is a real danger to the world? And he said, hardcore agree with a straight face emoji.
That's good.
And then someone close in his life died.
What is a straight face emoji?
Straight face emoji?
Like, is it just the two eyes and the line?
Yeah, just like a straight face.
I like how you tried to symbolize it with the hand and not your face. You went, you know, like a line and then walk around.
We should talk about emojis one day. There's the whole podcast about
emojis.
We could
do the emoji movie.
We could do the emoji movie. I was more talking about like how they're like modern day hieroglyphics. We could change our podcast, guys. We no longer have to do movies anymore. Jackson, we can get out of this. We can talk about new topics.
You like these movies.
I'm too scared. Do I? I can't think for myself.
Finally, Jason Momoa says, regardless of what happens with DC, he will always be Aquaman. And I don't know if he means that metaphorically, like he was in the role and he likes the character, or he's going to stay as Aquaman.
See, it doesn't make sense because he was like, I want to play Lobo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what if you're Lobo? Then?
You could play both.
No, but then he'll not always be Aquaman because he'll be Lobo.
True.
True.
Never think
True.
About that? Yeah.
But like, there's a lot of characters in like the MCU and in DC where they played like multiple characters but just spread out in different things. So as long as like Lobo and Aquaman never fight, they could easily have them both.
Yeah.
But then they did
That'd
the Green Lantern movie.
Really interesting.
Lobo shows up.
My immersion, Danon. I need immersion into the DC.
It's just really unrealistic when they have two Jason Momoas. That's a lot of Momoa.
That's one too many Momoas for me.
It's like Momoa.
It's like Momoa mania.
Some good stuff.
Are we out of
DC
news?
Your mouths right now.
Thanks, man.
Are we out of DC news?
We're out of DC.
I believe we're out of DC.
Thank God. That place is a sh.
It's like your
Prime Video has ordered a God of War TV series.
Sweet.
Just like on DoorDash? Like, did they just.
Yeah. They ordered the God of War game.
They're the ones everyone orders things from.
True.
Who are they ordering from?
Yeah, who are they ordering from?
Amazon.
What's the hierarchy here?
Yeah. But that's exciting. I hope we don't get stuck with like an actor who's just big for the role of Kratos. They'd like do someone good. I do think the voice actor could do a good job. It's like he's big.
He is pretty big.
Christopher Judge. And he also won Best Performance for the video game. And he gave the longest award speech of all time.
Really long award speech.
But
and
I mean,
everyone after him was like two sentences.
Yeah. But how do you top that?
You don't.
He did a Shakespearean monologue. And then everyone else went, thanks, Mom and Dad. I love video games. And then they sat down.
Hear me out.
What?
Dave Bautista as Kratos.
That's a bad casting.
Hear me out.
Uh-huh.
The Rock as Kratos.
Now I'm fully on board with this casting.
Yes. That one.
Hear me out.
I'll hear you out.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart as the boy.
It's just The Rock.
And he'd be like, come on, boy. I'm already following you, Dad. My legs are small. And they'll just keep doing that joke. Because it works in Jumanji and Super Pets and Central Intelligence.
And every other movie.
God. Into better news. This is my favorite news bit of the week. Matthew Lillard and Josh Hutcherson have been cast in Blumhouse's live-action Five Nights at Freddy's movie. I'm pretty sure Matthew Lillard is the purple guy.
He has to be.
Which I was
He's
like, that's
Freddy
good casting.
Fazbear, I think.
Like voice acting?
I'm I thought that's who he was playing.
I thought he was playing Matthew the killer.
Lillard's the Scooby-Doo
he
guy,
plays
right?
Shaggy, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think he'd do a good murderer.
I think so, too. And then...
I think Josh Hutcherson's like his son, or he's just a security guard, but that'd be cool. If he's Freddy, I'm going to be really disappointed, Camden. What'd you find?
I'm still finding.
Okay, while you're finding, Jackson, why don't you walk us into this next one?
Purple guy. He's playing purple guy.
He's playing yes! purple guy?
Let's William Afton.
Man behind the
Let's
sweater.
Go. Did you just quote that stupid song?
Of course I did, Ben.
Okay, cool.
But you know what I didn't quote?
What?
This next...
what?
Henry Cavill to executive produce and star in a Warhammer 40,000 film and TV universe from Games Workshop and Amazon Studios.
There's no
way. I'm so no glad he got a way back into
there's
it.
There's no way he's making 40,000 films. Yeah, there's just no way.
There's 40,000 no Warhammer way. Films. Why is there a place called Games Workshop? That just seems so general. It's like, oh, what do you do?
Oh, you know, the games Workshop. We work there.
What do you
the
do
games
at the workshop? Games. What do you?
It's just they launder money there. That's all they do.
I've never seen them make a game before. But that's really cool, enough. Especially
and they've
because
made 40,000 Warhammers. Yeah.
It got really confusing in the middle.
This is even funnier because the next news bit, you capitalize movie studios. Yeah. So it looks like
it's its own thing. Okay.
Movie studios can now be sued for deceptive or misleading trailers, which is really interesting,
What's
I think.
The most deceptive trailer we've seen recently?
The last one I can think of is probably like Infinity War. Where like Hulk was running with them, and there's a bunch of shots that were changed.
That's the thing, though. You like, how do you legally draw the line between deceptive and just like
Spider-Man Far From Home, where we weren't able to see that? Like, does that cross a line? You know, we weren't able to see the characters. Is that deceptive or misleading?
Right. It's like, are they holding things for like surprise value, or is it deceptive? And I think that like they're gonna have a hard time with this law.
What is the line that they're able to cross of it being? Mm-hmm. We're saving it
well,
for the
movie. This came from someone who is suing, I forget which movie it is, but there was an actress in the trailer, and then that actress was not in the movie at all. Like, completely removed from the movie. So, in that case, yeah, I get it. Because they were like, oh, I went to
I
see
can't
the
wait
movie
to see this actress.
For that specific actress, and then she was not in it.
And then they got stuck watching Avatar 2 for 3.5 hours.
I'm just going to go back in time and find all these trailers that are deceptive and be like, I'm suing you. I'm suing you.
I would have enjoyed Infinity War more if I knew that everyone was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd have a better time.
I would have. Yeah.
But that like No Way Home, how they didn't have either of the Spider-Man in there. Like, what if you hate Tobey Maguire Spider-Man or something and you go see that movie because you're like, oh, he's not in it. They would have had him in the trailer.
But no, that's the thing. Like, withholding information isn't the same as misleading. Because misleading is like...
So how are they going to prove that they were intentionally misleading?
I think it's going to literally have to be a case by case now.
And they're going to have to like go into like company emails and be like, oh, make sure you include this person in the trailer despite them not being in the movie.
We got
to
critically analyze every trailer after we watch the movie to see if there's grounds for us suing them.
For suing.
Okay, that'll be the new segment. Starting today, we're going to go back and watch the trailers for Puss in Boots and Avatar 2.
Wait a minute. This movie didn't look as fun as it was in theaters. I'm suing. next up, we got James Bond, possibly. Aaron Taylor Johnson, also known as Tangerine from Bullet Train, most recently. Great movie. Love Bullet Train. Has met with producers about playing the next James Bond. The meeting reportedly went well, so I would be fine with him being in James Bond. I love him in acting. He's British. So
that's
there you go.
Pretty much
that's
all they need.
That's the criteria.
Yes.
Check them all off.
Mm-hmm. I think The Rock would have done better.
I think,
for
yeah.
real. Yeah, it doesn't make sense that they didn't cast him for every role.
We get Jack Black in the role of James Bond.
That would be more interesting.
That'd be fun.
You know what else is interesting?
What?
Netflix claiming it has, quote, never canceled a successful show.
My favorite is when people just started replying to that tweet with examples of shows that they've canceled in their prime.
Yep.
I think that came after they just came out and like canceled a slew of shows, right? Like they canceled that animated show Inside Job, I think is what it's called. And people are upset about
that. I really
like
that show.
I watched
good.
A few episodes of that and it was pretty good.
It was fun. It was made by similar people of like Gravity Falls and Rick and Morty and all those shows. Yeah.
Speaking of Rick and Morty.
Ooh. Wow, I didn't mean to set that up.
Adult
so well.
Swim cuts its ties with Rick and Morty co-creator Justin Roiland following domestic abuse allegations.
Now, the question I have.
Domestic abuse charges.
Charges. Is... How do you continue with the show if he is such, like, he is a central point of the show? He voices half the characters. He voices the two main characters.
I think, if anything, this shows how little he really did other than just providing his voice, right?
I guess we'll have to see. Yeah.
Well, if they're confident like that they can creatively... like the voice acting, I don't think they're really concerned about. They can find a million people who can voice Morty and Rick, right? But if they're not concerned that they can creatively continue this show, he must not have been as big of a part as we thought he was. You know what I mean?
Like,
he, I'm sure, created the show with Dan Harmon, but like at a certain point, it starts to run itself, right? And if they, I don't know, I don't think that he's a big part.
I think season 7 will be like a huge indicator of like, oh, the show is like dropped in quality,
right?
Or it's like,
or it's
going to
be like,
what if it's awesome?
What if it's like the best?
It might be better.
It could be. That's the thing.
Yeah. Like Kim just said, I don't think the voice actors, like voice acting is a worry for them because supposedly I heard that the ads that they produce, like, you know, the Pringles ad they made with Rick and Morty and the Wendy's ad, those are like voiced by other people. People they just have on call. Yeah. They're not. So
there's
like,
some guy on TikTok that people are campaigning that he should be the new voice.
I would like it if a small.
But
like,
apparently he's met with Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon before, this voice actor from TikTok, to like, I don't know if it ever was done, but there was talks to put him in episodes to see if people could tell the difference.
Oh.
So that way in the future, if they ever needed, like if Justin was out because of his voice.
Or because of this sexual.
Or because if he had federal domestic abuse allegations.
That, funny enough, the second one happened. So
yeah, it's weird how the world works.
Speaking of replacing people, maybe with AI, AI will voice Darth Vader as James Earl Jones retires. After signing over the rights to use his voice to Lucasfilms. Now, we talked about this beforehand, about creating it after people are gone. But I think in this case, where he's very much alive, signs over the rights, and they have an AI to do it, which is what they did in Darth Vader, I think we have Darth Vader forever now, right?
Yeah.
That's almost like a scary concept to think about.
But how cool is that he's immortalized as that character?
It is, but at the same time, they have the rights to his voice and can do whatever they want with that.
I think to the Darth Vader voice, if
I think that they committed these crimes. Well, you heard James Earl Jones said it.
Like in this case, though, I think what he signed over is his rights to the Darth Vader voice, right? Mm-hmm. Like they can't just use James Earl Jones's voice and create new characters.
I don't think it's a John Cena situation where that's his name.
I know everyone's like scared about this, and I do think in general, like signing away like your face is a weird thing to do.
Don't
because
do that.
Then you could be used almost anywhere. Mm-hmm. But in this specific case, it's like they would never sabotage their own franchise. And so I guess he doesn't have to worry about them sabotaging his name in turn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a pretty safe bet for him to do this. It sets up his family for life as if they aren't already set up for life.
A whole Broadway theater got named the James Earl Jones Theater, which I thought was very cool.
I don't know. Just the concept to me seems very dystopian.
It is. It definitely is. But also, we've never been at this point in history before.
Yeah, he's the first one.
We've never had a franchise like these franchises because there haven't been movies ever. You know, like we're at a new point in history.
Yeah.
Like this is like, I don't know.
I guess, think if this picks up like drastically,
right,
like snowballs, that's very bad.
Will they make it more common, or is it just these big titular roles that they want to keep?
Do they go, Willem Dafoe will always voice Green Goblin from here on out?
Right, because then you're like, that doesn't make sense.
That's weird, because there's different actors who played him.
Right.
But no one's played Darth Vader beyond James Earl Jones, unless it's like video games. So I don't know, we'll see. Jax, I agree with you at this, like, continuous. And Mark Hamill will always voice.
Oh my god, what if Adult Swim is just doing AI for Rick and Morty?
Oh, they have that on TikTok. They have the little voice to text. They just do that for the next Morty, get with me into the spaceship.
They're for sure going to do the first episode back is going to be different voice actor for each scene, I think. They're going to like try and like make it a fun thing without mentioning the domestic abuse. Like they're going to be like, oh, Morty, we have different voice actors. And then like in the next line, it'll be a different voice actor. Like they'll have like clearly different voice actors. And then by the end of the episode, they'll have settled or something. They'll make it like a plot device, I think, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting for sure.
Morty, I'm hitting my wife, Morty.
Can't say that, man.
If only you could turn back the time and not say that.
Marvel
news. Deadpool 3 will include time travel. Confirmed by Hugh Jackman.
Yes, I'm very excited. There's reports that the TVA will be involved with the Deadpool 3 because at the end of Deadpool 2, he uses Cable's like time jump thingy and he starts messing around. And you see the jokes of him like killing Ryan Reynolds for doing Green Lantern and trying to kill baby Hitler and things like that. So it'll be fun, I think, if he messes around with time and that's how the movie starts off.
Yeah.
And he gets Hugh Jackman back and he's like, hey, Wolverine. And then the TVA is like, you're breaking the rules. We have to bring you in. And then they're running from him until they eventually get into the MCU.
I think this movie isn't going to be as impactful as people think it is.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be rated R, mm-hmm. won't appeal to most of Marvel's audience. And so they're not going to... Right. If it's like a main storyline part, they won't in an R-rated movie because then you can't... People will be missing out on the story.
I think it would be something similar to like Shang-Chi where all it is doing is fully introducing the character and what comes with that character into the MCU. Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing that this movie will accomplish is this whole adventure, Deadpool is now in the MCU. That'll be what this movie does.
Mm-hmm. It won't like affect there anything won't be other Kang, than like, destroying they can now the use him as a character.
Although, wouldn't it be interesting if the reason he's on the run is like Kang destroyed the world and you're like, oh, this is really important to the story.
It could be though, but like it, like that's important to the story, quote unquote, but it's not actually important because like that world gets destroyed.
We don't need to know.
We know Kang is destroying worlds, but that's pretty much, if we already know that at the end of Ant-Man,
guys,
we just get to see it in Deadpool. That'd be cool.
I'm excited for Ant-Man.
I am too.
I wasn't fully, they released a new trailer. By the way, it's trailer time. Get your trailer time hats on. When they released that second trailer, I was like, I'm sold. I'm really excited because I think Ant-Man's probably going to die.
Maybe. I don't know.
He got chokeholded out by
Kang. I think they're like showing too much, implying that he's going to die, that I don't think
that he's going to die. That is not going to happen, yeah.
Hank Pym is going to die.
Oh, for sure. You got to kill Ant-Man, but not our Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Kill the one that no one fully cares about.
It'll be like a Flash and Crisis thing where it's like, a Flash has to die, but and then they kill a different then it's Flash.
Just the actor who was the Flash for 3 episodes.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of theories about that movie. One of which is like MODOK is apparently the villain from the first Ant-Man.
Yes, I think it's stuff confirmed.
Like
that.
It's confirmed. Like,
yeah, you see his face actor. In a trailer.
Is it the same actor?
But the way he died in the first one is he went
into the quantum realm.
Yeah, except for his helmet.
But isn't MODOK's thing is he got so smart that his head was.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they do
how
this.
How they explain it? Gosh,
it's MODOK. No one's going to go, you ruined my character. It's
MODOK. I care about MODOK.
You
okay.
That one thing about him.
No, I know everything about
MODOK. Who does he work for?
God.
Lex Luthor.
Okay. I'm a devout Christian.
The Lord is God.
First trailer we got, Camden. That's not the title. I think he's having a stroke. Jackson, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the Mandalorian season 3.
Mandalorian. Joe Mandalorian.
Joe Mandalorian. Season 3, trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got a few things in this trailer, right?
I have a theory.
Well, let him...
I know, I just want to let that be known when we get there.
The Mandalorian says this is the way twice.
Okay, that's important.
Grogu uses the Force.
Big time Force.
Didn't know he had the Force.
I'm
being honest, I didn't know.
4 Jedi in one scene.
Jackson's a little confused on that. That's my theory. We'll get there.
And that's all I remember.
There was a lot of Mandalorians in this
A lot
season.
Of Mandalorians as well. I did make a note of that. I don't know how I forgot that.
I don't, like, I'm interested to see if they're going to be like, we're from the season 1 group. Like, you know, on that one planet, how they all stayed underground. I think we might see some of them, but I think a lot of them might be like, oh, dude, you got the Darksaber. We can go back to Mandalore. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then as he's going back, he just picks up a bunch of Mandalorians. And then Bo-Katan's like, I want to rule Mandalore. He's like, dude, I don't even want this. Can you just take it? And then she'll try to kill him for it. And then Grogu will snap her neck like Darth Vader did in Obi-Wan.
I don't want it to follow the same format, though, of like those first 2 seasons. I feel like both those seasons was like, well, we got to do this thing. So let's go do this thing. Ah, man, we're out of gas.
I like those episodes.
But like, it's cool. But if the whole season is going to be building up to them getting to Mandalore, I don't like when we go into the season knowing what's like we're building up to at the end. It's like, can you
throw some twists and turns?
Right. I don't want to like be like, when are we getting there? And it doesn't happen this episode and it happens the whole season.
What's your theory?
Anakin Skywalker is going to come in this
season.
Oh, you
think?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But he's dead.
They keep building up to this Grogu rescue situation in Order 66.
Oh, like who saved him?
There was the flashback in Book of Boba Fett. Now there's a flashback in this trailer. And if there's a flashback in the trailer, it's going to be a big moment, right?
Yeah.
And there's a line in that door that looks like a lightsaber just cut through the door.
It does.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
This is Order 66. Mm-hmm. I think this is like Jedi defending the younglings as Anakin comes through to like massacre them. I don't know how he's going to get rescued, but I just think Anakin's going to make an appearance this season.
What I hope they don't do is I hope they don't have a moment where Anakin's like, oh, he looks like Yoda. I can't kill him.
Right.
Because then I'm like, no, Darth Vader killed
Darth Vader
a bunch of people.
Should
he,
be ruthless.
He snapped a child's neck in Obi-Wan. That's the worst thing I think I've ever seen him do.
That
in
was
action.
So bad.
I remember us watching that and just going, because he just full-on killed someone.
Yeah.
So wait, has Order 66 happened?
Yes,
this is a flashback. Did you watch Boba Fett? I don't remember.
I did, yes.
So like those last couple episodes where it's about like Luke and all that,
right.
We get the flashback of Grogu in the temple being defended. It's like the same scene that is shown in that trailer just
there.
But it's so like slightly different. Like we see
that more we're going to learn more about Grogu's background in this season.
Oh, okay.
And that we're going to flash back to that same flashback. Because I think he's slowly uncovering it in his own mind as the audience uncovers it. You know, it's like trauma.
So at like this point, there's only a few Jedi left. Like, Ahsoka.
Like Luke, Ahsoka. And,
okay.
And then probably a few in the Ahsoka series.
Like probably Ezra is going to come back.
So my being like, oh, there's four Jedi. That's like
those are old Jedi who are gonna die.
Okay, I see.
Unless there's four new Jedi, which would be cool. I like this because it seemed very grounded. We saw Grief back. We saw SDSU alum Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers.
There's so many signs on our campus where it's like Carl Weathers coming to give a talk show. He used to be a boxer turned actor for Mandalorian.
They don't even say Mandalorian on it, do they?
No, they do. They have a poster of him from the Mandalorian. I could tell because it said the Mandalorian and he was dressed like a space priest like he is in the show.
I've only seen like the big A-frame ones, you know, that is like.
But I like how it was grounded. We saw a bunch of characters. We saw Babu Frick. We saw Mandalorians. What I'm hoping for is about halfway through, Luke shows back up. Ahsoka shows back up. Mm-hmm. I really want I want a Cad Bane. I'd like if Boba Fett showed up. I want a reverse of what happened to Boba Fett. I want Boba Fett to show up.
The last few episodes is just taken over.
Hard shift. That'd and Boba funny. Fett goes, I'm leading Mandalore. And you're like, oh, all right. I wasn't expecting that, but okay.
Yeah. I hope Sabine shows up in this season. It would make sense.
It's best to connect to Ahsoka, but we'll see.
So is Ahsoka coming out this year?
This year. Later.
Late this year?
Mm-hmm. August.
That might be hard then. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah,
it can't be that hard. The characters aren't real. They could do whatever
they
want.
That's true, I guess.
And the next trailer we got, I just thought it was a fun looking trailer. We got Renfield. Nick Cage's Dracula.
Yes.
Yes.
That looks pretty good.
It looks fun.
Yeah.
Looks a little goofy.
It's a modern twist of Dracula's old, like, get me the blood. But it's modern times because he's been his assistant for thousands of years now of Dracula. And he's just like, I have an abusive relationship with my boss. His boss is the king of the undead, which I thought was a fun little thing. I think this is going to be a good time. Nicholas Holt, we know him. We like him. Menu wasn't that good of a movie. I didn't really like it, but people continue to praise it. It was just kind of weird. But he was in that movie too. Mm. Jackson, you might remember him from Beast.
I loved that movie.
No, him as Beast in X-Men.
Oh, that's where I know him from.
I knew you wouldn't recognize him.
I thought you were saying from the movie Beast.
The movie Beast where the lion was attacking Idris Elba.
Yes, that's. I was like, there is a movie with that name.
You're like, no way.
But I don't think I saw it. But yes, okay. I did recognize the actor. I didn't know who he was, though. Now I know. Thank you.
I know how to get to you, buddy.
You have so much movie knowledge. You should start a podcast.
I should. You know what the first movie we should talk about on that hypothetical podcast?
Yeah.
Birds of Prey. But I think for this week, we should focus on the movies we already picked. Puss in Boots.
Oh.
Is the first one we're going to be doing.
Well, if this is the first episode, I should go.
Oh, yeah, because
I wasn't here. I wasn't here for the first one. I did see it.
You did see it. You just weren't here. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Now, it's been a while. We've been had like almost a full month and some change off. I don't know if you guys remember it. Normally, I do a plot, and then we dive into it further.
Okay.
And I wanted to twist it a little bit.
Oh.
So instead of us listing out all the characters and us trying to find good things about them, I'm just going to have the character sections from now on. And if we can remember them and we know they're important, we talk about them.
All right. Okay. All right.
Sure. Because if the characters aren't memorable or we don't know who they are, that's the movie not doing
maybe
a good job.
Maybe that's us not doing a good job as reviewers, though.
I don't care that much.
Maybe it's our role as reviewers to list all the characters.
Plot.
Okay.
We all know about the first Puss in Boots. Zach Galifianakis is Humpty Dumpty, and they steal the golden goose, and the goose attacks the city, right? But Puss in Boots hasn't had just one life. He's had eight. But on his last quest, he done got crushed by a building bell, and he died. But we find out quickly on, that was his eighth life. And Jackson, how many lives do cats have?
I think more than eight.
Good. Nine.
Oh my God.
You did it.
He has one more?
Yes, he's on his last life.
Was that the point of the movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So he goes into retirement, and he's like, I'm done. I can't be Puss in Boots. I'm a scaredy boy now. I don't want to die. He's no longer the smack-talking Puss in Boots because he doesn't have his extra lives to bank off of. But after some burglars come into the place he's staying at, they mention that they're stealing something called the Wishing Star, which means that there is a Wishing Star which grants one wish. He could wish for his lives back, and he could be the same Puss in Boots. But on his way to the Wishing Star, he bumps into faces old and new, and he grapples with the question of, Maybe One Life is
God.
Puss in Boots. Huh?
You sound like a IMDb review. I hate you so much. It was just like the plot synopsis. You read it word for word.
And with that being said, let's then jump into some characters, huh? Let's start off with Puss in Boots. Let me tell you something. Antonio Banderas.
Still got it.
Like,
keeping it up.
I don't know if you can like voice act, but when he plays
your favorite.
I fucking love so that song. No, when he plays these characters, like full on like Latino characters, and that's like a huge part of their culture and character, he makes those characters awesome. This one, for example, Puss in Boots, he didn't skip a beat from Shrek 2. He is back on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You see what Eddie Murphy said?
What did he say?
He was quoted about he wants to come back as Donkey.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know why they made a Puss in Boots movie. Donkey's where is that? We should have made a Donkey movie, you know?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But no, great character. What do you think, Jackson?
Of Puss in Boots?
The whole movie right now.
The whole movie. Oh my God. It was a great movie. But I'm going to stick to just Puss in Boots.
That's a
here.
Smart choice.
Solid character. Struggles with a lot of very real fears. You know, they really made this. I mean, you didn't mention this in your plot, but Puss is constantly being haunted by death, both the concept and the character. There's a character called Death. And so it's kind of almost like a really nice message that Puss gets across where like, your last life, or for us, our entire life is important and we should do things with it, you know, that are good.
Jackson, I feel like this movie really spoke to you based on that.
I'm just trying to say that through the character of Puss, they tackled a lot of really adult concepts.
Mortality.
Puss definitely deals with anxiety attacks, panic attacks. In
yeah,
this movie.
Right. So, I think that changing his character, not changing his character, but making this character vulnerable, mm-hmm. made it so that you could kind of like understand where he's coming from more and relate to him more as an audience, and kind of get those messages, which was nice. I really liked it.
I really liked that. Then we got some returners. I don't know why I said we have some. We have one from the previous Puss in Boots. We have Kitty Softpaws.
Kitty Softpaws.
Salma Hayek is back.
So you guys remember the first Puss in Boots?
No, like,
vividly,
I never watched
because,
it.
Like, I saw Kitty Softpaws and I was like, this is just supposed to be an implied character from his past. Because, you know, they talked about their past, but I didn't know there literally was a past.
No, there was. She's returning from
the
previous
movie.
She's the
second Puss in Boots movie, which I never
saw
the first one.
She's really good at stealing because she has soft paws.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So well, that's,
she
was declawed.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That
well, we learned that in the first one, like the true Puss in Boots fans, but.
Yeah.
Right,
sorry.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
I'm only on the bandwagon.
But briefly, I do want to mention about this movie, like, you don't have to see the first one to know anything. And they do a great job of, like, giving you all the information you need. Like, the fact that we remembered that she was, like, declawed. And you said that was like a talking point in the first movie. Like, they did a good job of like reintroducing things,
without
but not making
it
a big point. Like, she said, like, I've been abused, declawed, maimed, or whatever. And like, she just named things and just briefly brushed over it instead of making it a point. Right?
And then in the theater, I slapped my knees and went, that's from the first movie.
I remember that.
And then his father was like, please, we're just trying to watch a movie. I'm like, shut up. Mm-hmm. Do you know who I am? I have a movie plug. next up, we have Perito, which I adored. He's a little abused dog.
He was a little annoying at the beginning, but I found myself liking him towards the end.
Like, I was really close. There's a point, and this isn't really much of a spoiler, but like, they obviously spend a lot of time in the movie together, but there's a point where Puss is like, I work alone, you know? And I almost leaned over to Dan and was like, God, I hope that dog doesn't show back up. And then the next scene, he was right there. I was like, ah, man, he's going to be here the whole movie.
Yeah, but then you learn more about the dog, and you're
this guy's
actually had like a kind of shit life. You gotta feel bad for him.
And yet he's still just a good boy.
He's still so nice. Like, literally, he wants to be a therapy dog.
I love how they play into stereotypes in these movies of, like, whether it be the fairy tales or, like, just the fact that they're cats and dogs. Like, their personalities. Like, he's like, I'm a dog. I'm so excited and happy. And they're like, we're cats. We're gonna kill you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I like that. And then, like, the fairy tales. Something that they do in this movie, I guess this is more for what works, but there's a lot of fairy tale characters in this movie like there is in the Shrek movies. And I think when you just take an already established fairy tale and just can work with it from there. That's a lot more fun than taking a full movie, introducing like a fairy tale people already know, like Pinocchio or something, right? Just playing with it is more fun.
Dude, the live action Disney Pinocchio movie still sucks.
Yep.
It has not left my mind. It's so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of that, let's just jump into some of the villains, shall we? We have Goldilocks and the...
Okay, sorry. We said the there were really only two villains.
There's three.
We said,
there's three.
You guys are disappointed. Oh, right.
Goldilocks right. and the three bears.
That's four right there.
Yeah, that's four villains, man.
You're telling me that they're not their individual peoples?
These people are like really that villainous. They have the same goal.
They're devious for sure.
And they,
a little mischievous.
They're, I mean, but you could argue that like Puss and Kitty were like the same thing. They were just trying to achieve their goal and they were crossing other people to do so.
Yeah.
So like they were almost like a foil to that their group. They were another group doing the same thing. Now, evil would be Jack Horner.
Mm. Yes. Evil now, Jack I feel Horner. Like we didn't talk about Goldilocks and three bears.
But I'm just
at all.
That's
Jackson
my bet.
Wants to give his two cents first. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No.
We could go Jack Horner first because that seems to be a talking point for
he's,
you.
He's a good villain.
You just like that you share a name with him.
That was fun.
Yeah, Jack.
Son.
Yeah, Horner Salvestrini.
What are you, big pies?
I was watching the movie and I was like, I've heard this voice somewhere before. Then I find out it's John Mulaney.
No,
like,
that happened to me the first
sense.
Time I watched it, too. I did not get it until, like, the second scene. I was like, yeah, it's him.
I picked it up when he first showed up. I don't know why you guys didn't.
It was just
I
because
don't
I
watch
wasn't
John
expecting
Mulaney,
him.
But I've heard his voice before. So I was just
I was
like,
not either. And then I heard it, and I was like, oh, my God. He's starting to turn into Chris Pratt for me, where it's just like, why? I know he has
he's
a fun,
be Mario?
Unique voice, but, like, he's in a lot of animated stuff now.
Yeah.
Like a lot of stuff.
I think his voice is nice for yeah. for like that character in particular. I felt
think he's
like it fit.
He just, I guess it's weird when there are like literal voice actors who it's their job to like craft like hundreds of different voices and they can do them so well. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, I like that guy's voice a little bit. We're going to have him play himself, but in every movie.
I do think though, more so in the case of the people versus Chris Pratt, I think for Chris Pratt voice acting, a lot of the time he just does his voice, but it's like, I'm a happy Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm a stern Chris Pratt, but it's Chris Pratt.
John Mulaney,
like Spider-Ham and this are two vastly different like characters. But sometimes when he's talking, you hear, yeah, it's John Mulaney. Mm-hmm. But like the way they talk is very different.
Yeah, I guess.
Like this guy, without having a mustache, is a very mustache twirling villain. And he talks like that too. He's just like.
It's also the lines too, though. You know, like the writing contributes to that. Like.
I think he just got lucky.
When you can be watching a movie and like immediately you're like, oh, that's John Mulaney. Like it's like a good thing, but also maybe let's find other voice actors for roles, you know?
But back to Jack Horner. I love that character. He was the best one note villain I think I've seen in a movie.
His design was really funny too. Like I liked his hairstyle.
Oh,
I thought that
everything
was
awful about him.
Yeah, he was gross.
He was like 8
not
feet
fun
tall.
To look at. Yeah.
He had a gross pink bowl haircut. And he's like, all I want is all the magic in the world.
Yeah.
Is that so wrong? And you're like, yes.
I grew up with everything anyone could ever ask for, but it wasn't enough.
It was like a very clear message coming from this movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Awesome. Great villain. He was a perfect force to be pushing up against our main characters. And then we have Goldie and the Three Bears, which is almost like our second team. Of protagonists because we kind of we cut to them a lot too, and Goldilocks has a secret kind of goal with the MacGuffin of the Wishing Star that the Three Bears don't know about, and you kind of learn about it more and more with each interaction. But you know that they all care for each other. I thought it was nice. I also like that all the bears were from London.
Yeah, why were they British?
I like that a lot. He's like,
I would assume Goldilocks would be British.
Yeah,
he's Goldilocks,
and also Florence Pugh. So
yeah. Was she Florence?
Yeah.
It was Florence Pugh.
Oh.
Yeah, Goldilocks was.
See, that's a better voice actor than John Mulaney.
Maybe Florence Pugh just has a more general voice, though. You know what I mean?
That's recognizable. And then finally, last but not least, we have the Wolf, voiced by the dude from Narcos, who plays Pablo Escobar. But if his only two roles to ever be remembered are Death and Pablo Escobar, good actor, in my opinion.
True.
But every single scene he's in, it is haunting. It's great. He's such a good job.
Yep.
He chews every line like Antonio Banderas does.
Right.
Like there's a lot of like scene chewing, but everyone's doing their character right. It's not like this is distracting.
They are scene chewing, but let me say the runtime of this movie is still fantastic.
Ooh,
hour 37 or something, right?
It's a longer animated movie. Yeah. It felt
but it's
zipped through. Zipped through.
Yeah.
I loved every second of it.
So do we want to move into
is a famous segment, what works, what doesn't work?
I guess we're starting with the runtime.
You know. Fantastic. That's 1 point for
Puss in Boots.
1 point. I'm keeping a tally right here.
I'd like to commend how many like different topics this movie handles, mm-hmm. like heavy topics, and also handles them well. You have Puss in Boots. I guess you would call it like PTSD, but also like fear of like death, like
anxiety, right? Mortality, fear.
Those are all like so many heavy concepts just rolled into one. You have like adoption and like family like deals right. with yeah. the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You have like ego. Greed and capitalism and like the rich get richer
yeah.
with Jack Horner. Like, I don't know. I just like, I think and, like, that they were
what
all
what is
very,
family?
Right.
Like all of it. I'm Fast not even kidding.
Furious. Yeah, I was going to say, I learned that in Fast and the Furious.
A couple game. Times I did get choked up. This movie yeah. does have yeah. some parts where I'm like, ah, oh, fuck. I think I did shed a tear the first time I watched it. Mm-hmm. There's like a specific point near the end.
But also, I got a little choked up in Avatar, though. So like, I think that maybe we're just a little emotional.
I cannot wait for you to tell me when, because I legitimately don't know when.
We'll talk about it
in spoilers.
We're, yeah. we're still talking
I'm interested
about
to hear what when.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
another thing, mainly the score. The score yeah. always gets me more than anything. Yeah. You know, they play some sad music they over do. A sad they scene. Do. I'm like, oh, man, what's happening?
Yeah.
Another thing that works, the animation. I am just... It's the same style-esque as Spider-Verse, and it's...
I think I disagree. I think there's moments where it like it takes from that, where like, you know, it's more like a choppy animation. The fight scenes.
They do that on purpose though. And I think it looks good. Yeah. I don't know why, but like when they slow down the background and they keep the characters like at the same, like it makes it look better.
It's because we finally have people working in Hollywood who grew up watching anime. That's
yes, I guess that's probably
they're
what
finally
it is.
Working
yeah.
on animated movies and getting to bring their own.
But then, like,
and that's
influence.
Why we get to see that in Nope also, yeah. like in right. live action when they're
it's
doing
so,
the Akira slide.
It's
and stuff.
So yeah. nice.
I will say they it is. It's they, cool. they adopted a lot of the elements of Spider-Verse, and I think they changed it enough so it works and it feels fresh still. Yeah. Like every time a spider character was introduced, they threw down another comic and they're like, mm-hmm. "This is this Spider-Man."
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in this one, it was a wanted poster because all of them are criminals. Yeah. It's like, I'm Puss in Boots. And then that goes up. And you're like, oh, Puss in Boots. So they introduce you. They show the name in the picture again.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jack Horner first shows up, he's like, I'm Big Jack Horner. And yeah. then it goes, psh, Jack Horner. And you like fully get the names and everything.
The movie for sure has like a vision. Like
yes.
whoever was behind this movie like knew what they wanted to do and they stuck with it. And mm-hmm. it was good. It was mm-hmm. very consistently creative.
It's so pretty to look at. It and was? It's so dynamic in its looks, too. It doesn't have just one look consistent, especially on the quest of the Wishing Star. The environment changes depending on who's holding the map to the star. So you get a lot of cool looking backgrounds to mess with. I think my favorite one was the Crystal Cave. That yeah. one was so cool to look at that because was it cool. was like very bland and boring. And then, bam, it just changes and it just gets dark. It's very good. The song, the music, everything's, I love them. All in all, I legitimately, and the action's really good too. Like,
absolutely.
I was like, oh, it's fun. And then the first action scene that starts right when the movie starts, I'm, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like it was so fluid.
Did you know the bells in the beginning of the movie, there was 8 times the bell rang to show that he's. And then the 8th one was when he got killed to show his 8 lives.
Oh, wow.
I
saw that before
the
I
morning.
Saw the movie. Like, I saw someone post that on Twitter. And then when I was watching the movie, I paid attention for it. It was kind of cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I have a theory that...
Puss in Boots has 1 life left?
No.
That was the movie.
I have a theory that Death is actually the one who cut the bell to kill Puss. Because he made the notion that, like, he's been following
time.
Him
yeah.
his entire life. So I feel like a lot of those deaths may have been...
Well, he said each one
death.
Was me.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I guess it makes sense because he's dead.
Right.
But
it's hard to tell which ones he's meeting metaphorically, which ones he means literally, because he says, I am death straight up. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what do you mean by that? And now it's time to move on to what does
I have
work.
Something.
No, fire away.
Finally, for what does work is Puss in Boots' design change.
Yes, they made a hat bigger.
In this movie. They made him look not like a serial rapist, I feel like.
Well, that's also DreamWorks. The people look good to look at now too.
And in the Shrek movies, like he looks let me try and find him for you.
His eyes are messed up.
He looks creepy. Like he will kill you and or take advantage of you.
It is the eyes.
I can't zoom in on it, but
no, like it is 100. Well, that's also because that was DreamWorks animation style back then.
Right, yeah. right.
Like you look at B movie, you're like, why are all their heads freakishly huge? But now,
yeah, he does not look like your favorite hero. You know, he looks.
Yeah,
like,
but this new Puss in Boots, that's my favorite fearless hero. That's my favorite fearless hero.
Absolutely.
But what doesn't work? And it's not to say that, oh, this movie is flawless. I do want to hear what you guys think does not work with this movie.
Why do you not have anything?
I can't think of a single thing.
The only thing that I can really think of is it does, like, it does rely on a few like cliches where it's like flat, just flashback, like this is something that happened. And I don't necessarily like a lot of the wishes that people had were good, but then like Kitty's wish was like, you could just find someone you can trust. You don't need to wish for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's just a couple of times where I was like, that's a little stupid. I get it. They needed to push the plot, whatever. It's every movie has that. You can't fault a movie entirely for having cliches and stuff. The other thing I didn't really understand, and I'm sure this is probably explained in the first movie, why does Puss constantly do the attack where he spins?
Oh, I think that was just a stylistic thing.
He did that like four times. Like,
when he does a cartwheel in the air.
He does the thing where he does a cartwheel in the air, and it just seems like a bad attack. I don't know.
Well, I think we saw it in motion in the first one, and like it works really well.
I see.
So he's just like, everything I do works when I do it.
Yeah.
And that's what like shows that he can't do it.
I was just wondering, because it seems to be like such a bad attack. I feel like you give up your entire like footing.
I also agree. I think that makes this movie terrible.
Yeah. No, I don't really know. That for me just was like, why did they do it like four times in the movie?
Yeah.
I don't really feel like I have something for what doesn't work, but I think just like in general, it suffers from being a kid's movie. I guess you could say
there's
that.
There's a like, couple jokes where it's like,
there are like there and like there's moments where it's very, like Jackson said, like predictable.
Yeah.
Right. Like you could tell where the plot was going from a mile away, you know,
but yet it doesn't make it lose its enjoyment at all.
No, yeah, not at all. No, but if I have to critique it, you know, then
you can see the story once you get about like 20 minutes in, you're like, I know where this is going, but it's great to see that, know what's going to happen and still be like, oh, I knew this was going to happen like near the end. All in all, I had a great time, and without spoiling it, so that way you have to watch this amazing film. This has one of the best endings ever. The last 20 seconds of this movie. I've never been more excited for what happens next.
Yeah.
I've never been more excited for what happens next in a movie before.
All right, man.
You see, Avatar 2, take notes. Oh, maybe this person's coming back. Yeah, well, we know what's happening with this. You know what I mean? But stay tuned to the very end. It's good. Not a post-credit scene, but just like the ending's good.
Yeah.
What do we give this movie out of 5 Gatito Blades?
Good reference.
Yes.
4.7.
4.7? 4.7?
Yeah. I was going to give it 4.5, but I'm like, you know, it deserves a little above a 9. Okay. I really, really enjoyed
it. No. I was going to give it a flat 9.
I'll go 4.8.
4. Wow. Okay, good. So I don't feel bad doing this. Can I?
You can. You can. Go ahead, say it. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 5.
Wow. Of course.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. A good
like, movie. This is not Lyle Crocodile of like, we had fun, so we'll rank it higher. This is a good movie.
You said 0.6?
0.7.
0.7.
Mm-hmm. And you said 8.
So it's a 4.8 total, right?
It's 4.8, I think.
4.83. And I think it has really high ratings, too.
Yeah, it's just a good movie. I really don't see how another animated movie walks away with the Oscar for Best Animated Film this year.
Mm-hmm.
I will be disappointed if it's not Puss in Boots.
Yeah, I would agree. I feel like it'd be hard to top it this year.
Yeah. Like, Turning Red is fun, and it's good, but it's not Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
95 from critics, 94 from audience.
It's good.
It's good.
Good.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's better than Avatar, I'm pretty sure.
It's better.
It's got to be better.
It's got to be. Let's look it up right now.
I'm really curious as to what the critic score for Avatar is. I feel like the critic score is going to be higher than the audience.
Yeah. Let's see what Avatar 2 is, and that'll be our transition Avatar 2.
You can't search up. What?
What do you mean? The movie's out. I know that there's ratings now. Camden.
76% from critics, 92 from audience.
What?
Surprising.
Okay, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
Avatar 2.
We've talked about this, though. We'll get into why it's like that.
The Way of Water. Now, let's talk about some plot. You might all be a little confused about going to the planet of Pandora from 2008, but a lot has happened since 2008. And by that, I mean Jake Sully
busy.
Sully has 3 biological children and 1... clone baby offspring.
One adopted
child. That's a better way of putting it.
I don't know how much is a spoiler of this movie because I did not pay attention in the trailers.
We're gonna give a pretty surface level.
But can I spoil things in the first hour since it's 3.5 hours long?
We won't push anything past the 1 hour mark. But there is not much to talk about within the first hour mark, so we're not gonna be spoiling much. So Jake Sully now has his kids. He's the leader of the tribe that we now know from the end of the first Avatar, and everything's going great. Everything's going kosher. Everything's going fantastic. Everyone's killing it. He's leading his people. Wah, wah. Military's back. What the fuck? United States military. They're dropping down labs left and right. They burned down the big forest. Not the main forest that we saw, but just a large chunk of the forest. So they had to go hide in the mountains to stay away from military as they continue to build bases because they want to make Pandora the new Earth, because Earth is dying probably because they keep shooting rockets up into space to go colonize planets. Mm-hmm. But when they're there, Jake Sully starts attacking them. So that way they're like, yeah, this is still our planet. They're blowing up trains left and right. They're stealing supplies. They're getting guns. It's a cool hybrid of what they were from the first movie to what they are now, with modernized weapon and still keeping their traditional rules. And then, bum, 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 the general who done got shot in the chest twice in the first movie's back. But it's not the same, because you know how they got cloned and they take all their brain memories and then they put them in the avatar bodies? They had some of them going on Earth. So then they sent them back into space. And he said, we got one mission to do. We're going to kill Jake Sully. And you think, hell yeah, this is going to be an action-driven movie. It's not. Not in a bad way. Just they kind of get to that really quickly, and then there's 2 hours in between that, and then stuff happens with that.
Right.
But this is all within the first hour, so don't worry. We're not going to spoil it too much. Anywho, now it's a combat. But after they continue to attack the tribes, Jake Sully takes his family, and they have to go to a new place on Pandora, a place where the Na'vi people are more water-based. They have amphibian arms and like a fish-like tail rather than...
They're a different tribe.
Yeah, they're a different tribe completely.
They're the water people, not the forest people.
The water people, not the forest people.
The Matakaya.
The Matakaya. Yeah?
I didn't even remember that.
Matakaya?
There's, I think, Matakaya. I have the Wikipedia pulled up because there's a lot of names that we're not going to know here.
But is that my fault?
No. No. And that's probably one of my criticisms. Yeah. It's just how unmemorable a lot things are. Like the names of the children, I remember one because
hold on.
Yeah, sorry.
I have to end the
getting
plot
off track. Keep going.
And when they go to the water people, they have to learn the way of water. I think
that's
enough.
That's the name of the movie.
All right. That's it for the episode this week, guys. We'll see you.
Okay.
Let's jump into characters. Now
what I was saying about characters is I remember the two from Avatar 1, and then the kids. The only one I remember is Took. Because Took was an easy name to remember. Mm. And I guess Kitty, is it Kitty or is it?
Camden, I want you to just read off the first 10 people and then we'll work from there. So okay, let's get into characters.
Let me just Google it then, because it'll be easier than scrolling through Wikipedia if you just want characters.
Yeah, I just need 10 characters because that's still
okay. We got Neytiri.
Neytiri, mm-hmm. Back. Zoe Saldana does amazing performance as always.
Killed it, like carries the movie.
Carries the movie.
Carried the first one, because I don't know, you know, for all you Roomies Talking Movies watchers, you know that I hate Avatar and refuse to watch it.
But you watched
finally it. Caved in before we watched the second one. Zoe Saldana carries these movies hard. She's a crazy good actress.
I very much wish she had a bigger role in this movie.
Yeah.
Because you only feel her presence in the third act.
She was a little sidelined throughout the beginning. It's
same
more
with Jake Sully, really.
It's more like Jake and his kids that he's dealing with.
But also, Jake Sully is just a nothing character.
At this point, yeah, his arc was the first movie, and now
he's a coach who has children.
Pretty much. Pretty much. We got Jake Sully. I don't know if you're done with Neytiri. Are we done with Neytiri?
No, Neytiri's the best character in this movie.
Okay.
If they gave her more.
I didn't hate the movie. I didn't hate the movie either. Like, it's hard for me to be like, ugh, I didn't like these characters. Because, like, I did like the movie. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't like that I liked it at all.
Oh. Well, I hate, buddy. If it makes you feel better, I didn't really like the movie, so.
We got Ronal.
Who?
I guess we didn't talk about Jake Sully, really. But
we
not
don't
not
need to.
Ronal is played by Kate Winslet.
Oh, she's the leader.
Yes.
The wife of
the wife of the
head.
Chief.
Yeah.
Who is, if I could find him on here.
She also
not an important
has about three scenes. You think she'd be in more of the movie?
So in this tribe, it seems like even though he's the chief, the female tends to like.
That's the one you want to like.
Right. Like when they were first getting there, like she was the one they had to convince, you know, and she's definitely the one who like when things are going wrong, like would rather keep her people safe than be willing to like let in this new like outsider group.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, it's almost like she's the protector of the people rather than Tonawari, who is the chief of the tribe, played by Cliff Curtis.
Cliff Curtis did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Curtis did a fantastic job. Those two characters.
I like their dynamic a lot.
They had a very good, that you're like, whoa, Jake, you might need to go to marriage counseling with those two because that is a better relationship.
They were a strong relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're like, couple goals.
You would not break them up no matter what happens.
Way.
You know what I mean?
He'd
cheat on her. they'd work through it.
They'd work through it. She cheat on someone else, and then they're good now. Because that's always how it works.
I don't think you two should ever be in relationships again.
Wait, you're telling me if you even get cheated Steven. On, the proper response is not to go do it back? An eye for an eye, Jackson.
The problem with an eye for an eye is that someone always ends up blind. I don't remember what that's from, but it could be from Avatar. Okay, before we continue with the characters that we don't remember, Kitty. I'm sorry in advance. Who do we have?
Kitty.
Kitty. I think
it's Kitty. It's Kitty. Oh, it's Kiri. K-I-R-I.
It sounded like they said Kitty. The Kitty. Entire
by Sigourney Weaver.
Which is weird because she's a child, but Sigourney child. Weaver is not a child. Weaver. I did not say her last name correctly.
No.
Weaver.
One of my favorite characters in the movie, though, I think.
I think there's a lot of things that were unanswered, but, you know, I'm going to say this. I want to see how you guys feel about it. I feel like this movie has a lot of Dune syndrome where they introduce things and they're like, we'll do it in the sequel. And then we just kind of have to deal with it.
Obviously, because he came out and said, I got four more movies coming. We knew that this was going to be I'm a drag it out type beat. Yeah. And he said he wasn't even going to necessarily make the other ones if this one didn't do well. But I feel like he intentionally left
some,
stats undone.
For that when we get into what works and everything like that. So just
God, it's raised so much money now. Raised.
Raised.
Gained.
The budget is so low on this.
Raised?
Wait, I don't believe that. It says the budget is 250 mil.
Well, you also have to double it for advertisements. And so it's
so like 500? 5 million. Didn't he say they had to make about 2 billion to even break even?
Yeah.
So I'm confused how that even works. But anyway, so let's just keep talking about characters. We can get into specifics after all the characters are done. Kiri feels like a little bit of a MacGuffin in this movie. Yeah. A little bit of a plot device.
They do some things with her that don't. Continue.
Kind of in the way that like Jake Sully was in the first movie, and then it's like
an outsider.
The forest has chosen you. Yeah, you know, but yeah, right. Like,
well,
she doesn't fit in. They retread a lot of the same beats in this movie that the first one hit.
But it's cool because the movie's longer now.
But is that because it was 14 years ago, and they need to reintroduce it to audiences? Reintroduce the conflict between like the humans and the Na'vi and why, like, you know, it's like they're trying to like take it over for themselves. It felt like the same movie, honestly. Like it didn't feel like anything new. It felt like, oh, we need to go to this new far off place.
They do a lot of things where you're just like, it's like when a season of a show you like, okay, it's like The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. They go to a place and it's like, no, we're good people. We just want to make everyone live out through the apocalypse. And then they find out they're cannibals or they kill innocent people or they're farming babies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the good guys go, we got to stop this, and then go to a new place. That's right. What happens with this movie.
Yep.
Right. It's like,
it was like same plot, different.
The same road, you know.
Different, like
the way of water.
Location. Yeah. That's literally what it was.
They said the title twice.
Even the animals.
They did say the title twice.
Even the animals awesome. Were like, very similar. They had a fast moving animal,
right?
They had a big animal, and they had like
if you recall the banshee scene from the first movie where it was a beautiful long sequence that he refused to cut because everyone was telling him it was too long, but he was like, no, this is gorgeous, we need to keep it in. And then everyone loved it, turned into a ride at Disney World. He decided to do it again in this movie, but in the water.
I don't think it was as good as the first one.
No, not nearly as good. And he did it twice in this movie.
Oh, there's two separate ones.
I think
there's once with the whole tribe and then once
and
with just
one with the whale.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's cool seeing the animals, but I mean, just like being like, okay, you know, some of these are creative. The little like, the little ones that they rode on for speed.
Yeah.
Those Jackson? Ones were like cool.
Jackson.
Shut up. I'm a biology
nerd.
We
gotta do the two more. We have to do the two sons and the one bad guy, please.
I like,
there's so many characters I don't know.
I like the animals, but you can't tell me that they were original. They're just the exact same thing in the water as the first movie was in the air.
What are the two sons' names? We gotta get past characters.
We have Loak and Nateyam.
Nateyam, the perfect child. Loak, do one thing right in this movie, please.
Yeah. See,
please.
A lot of this movie was on both of them. Or actually, it was more on Loak.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Loak f***ed a lot of shit in this movie.
And and not a lot on Nateyam, which makes me sad. And that's part of my what doesn't work, but I can't say why it doesn't work.
Not yet, or really ever.
Unless we get into spoilers, which I don't think we will. But Nateyam, you don't really get to know as much as you do Loak. And I think that serves to make a point at the end of the movie not as impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think I feel like the reasoning for that, though, is that as the audience, you're supposed to kind of see Nateum as Jake Sully sees Nateum, you know, is like flawless, right? You only see him when he's acting good. You only see him when he's in a good position. Like, you don't really see any like troubles he might have as like a character, because they want you to feel like, yes, this is justified. Like, Jake's actions towards his children are justified, you know? But
I'm going to be honest. I don't think Jake's that great of a dad.
No, no, he doesn't seem like one.
I think. I don't think there are points where you're like, okay, this guy's a cool dad. Like, when he's like, right, what do the other guys look like? And he's like, worse. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and you're like, I don't know if that's
good. I think he's trying, you know? I think I kind of got the vibes of like a dad who's struggling because he's not a great dad, but at the very least, he cares.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have a movie if he was a good dad.
He was a good dad. How old is Nateum, do you think?
I would like
almost of age, probably.
I'd say 17.
17, 16, maybe.
Yeah.
Loak is like 13, 14. Probably 14, I'd say, maybe 15 even.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that they've had these kids for 17 years, and this is like this movie is the first time they're running into family problems, right? What? That doesn't make any sense. Like, they should have like handled things similar to this before, you know? They should have like a rapport between father and child. They've been living together for 17 years.
What do I keep telling you? Stop rushing ahead. We don't get that. We get him referencing the thing he did at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What, I told you not to do that. This is just like the one thing that we all saw as a movie.
Right, like,
rather than like, I can't believe we're still having this conversation. Mm-hmm. And we get that this has always been a problem. It seems like just in this month that we've got the Sully family in, they're having their first family problems. And you're like,
oh. Right. It's like everything was perfect on Pandora for 17 years. And now the humans are invading Pandora and there's bad things going on. And now we have family. It's like, what?
Finally. Mm-hmm. We have Colonel Quartzsack.
No, there's so many more characters we got to talk about, man.
Who?
Spider, Tuke.
Oh.
We could talk about...
Tuke is the youngest daughter. Spider is a human.
Spider is the Colonel's son, which I don't really understand how that works. Like,
I guess he had the son when he was a baby.
Yeah, so it's the Colonel's son, so there's like a dumb foil where it's like, oh, Jake Sully has his kids, the Colonel has his kid. It's stupid. I hated the whole like spider part.
I wish that part was not as in the movie as it was.
And you know Spider is just going to become a Na'vi in the next few films, because that's his whole character arc or trait, by the way, is that he
wants to be a Na'vi.
Yeah, he hangs out with him, paints his skin blue.
Okay. And then we had Tok.
Tuk.
Youngest daughter. She's a very cute character. She's like, well, mom and dad are gonna get mad when they find you, and that's all she is. But that's great. Good character. Next, we're gonna speed through those last ones. You said there's a lot more. Who do we have before the Colonel? Run them through me.
I mean, like, there's all the doctor people, and like
they were in the movie twice.
They were in. They were like, in a combined collective total of 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Fair.
Who? The chief's children. The sons were assholes. The daughter was.
Yeah, I guess
the sons look like the average people you'd see at like a public middle school. You know?
One of them's eating pencils.
Yeah.
100%.
And then finally, the Colonel. We're at the Colonel now. Colonel Quartzsack. What is his name?
Quaritch. Miles Quaritch.
Colonel Porridge.
Colonel Porridge.
So Colonel Quaritch, he's back.
Same character.
You thought he was one note in the first movie. Boy, howdy, wait till you see in this one.
That's what bothers me about this movie, is like they didn't even introduce us to a new human villain. It was just the same guy from the first movie.
And the best part was he literally had no further development than he did in the last one. And there's a scene where he gets a recording of himself and he's like, you have to finish what I couldn't. You got to kill Jake Sully. And he's like, I'm going to kill Jake Sully. And then walks off and you're like, is that his...
No.
Is that what he's
doing? The worst part is that he does that, and then throughout the movie, he's like, I'm not that person. Oh, well, you're taking orders from that person,
right.
So it kind of seems like you're under his influence a bit. Oh, but I'm not him. I'm not your dad, Spider. So you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the exact thing that you're saying you're not.
Piss me off, man.
You're not
when
telling
they
you.
Were like,
piss me off.
Oh, yeah, we have your memories, but, you know... We don't have them like from when you died, so now you have to piece together everything from the first movie. It was just so that they could
do the one scene where he finds his body.
So they could make you remember the first movie, because the first movie came out 14 years ago.
I think if they just went forward and they didn't rehash it and they're like, hey, watch Avatar.
It could have been a 2.5 hour movie.
It could have been a 2.5 hour movie.
It could have been a better movie. It could have.
Let's get into what works. Yeah. Let's get into what works, what doesn't work. What works? Okay. This is visually stunning.
Visually gorgeous.
Beautiful movie.
You're going to look me in the eyes. You're going to look at a little old Dane and you're going to say, I didn't like the visuals of this movie that one. That's the only thing to like about this movie. What are you talking about? Now, I will say, space whales? All right. But anyways, it's stunning.
Can I say something about the visuals, though, that I don't like about Avatar?
What did you like?
Is there like, look at how gorgeous this planet is. Don't you just appreciate the nature here? It's not real. It's not real. It's not real, right? Everything we're seeing on screen is not real. And that bothers me because I love when I'm watching like footage from a movie, but like this is a real landscape on Earth, you know? And you're like, man, Earth's beauty is gorgeous. And then they're like, here is a visual like CG environment, you know? And then you got to just sit there and admire the beauty of something that's not there.
That's not real.
True. Yeah.
It's weird. Like, but I guess like you're like just looking at art.
It's something very creative.
You know? When we get a good scene in like The Mandalorian or in a Marvel movie and it's actually stunning, you go, wow, this is something I haven't seen before.
I personally,
there's two different levels of just appreciating like it and seeing something new.
Like, I like seeing the parallels because a lot of the things in this movie are based in reality.
Right? Like the whales.
Like, yeah, and then like even the plants. Like, there's ferns. There's like really big ferns. You're like, those don't exist, but you know what they're based in.
Yeah.
And then there's like, you know, animals where you're like, oh, okay, you know, I didn't even think that
that's a jackalope.
They made a jackalope. They modified like the jellyfish to
I'm
be
really
the backpack.
I'm confused,
you know?
On Pandora's like locale in the universe.
How big is the planet?
Where is it? Is it in
right
the solar
next
system?
To Earth, yes.
Okay.
It's like literally, don't you remember in the first movie? Like there, you it like
so that's
shadows
Jupiter,
Earth.
Right? That's in the sky because in the first movie, I was like, that's either Jupiter or they just use stock footage of Jupiter to put in the sky.
I think it's
because it has the big red dot.
I think it's like one of those things where it's like.
So it's near Jupiter then, because Jupiter is huge compared to Pandora.
I think it's technically, if we were thinking of the solar system, it'd be between Earth and
where is
whatever
Pandora
the next one is.
Solar
Mars
system.
Mars is earlier.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Venus, Mars.
Pandora
Earth.
Is depicted as being located in the Alpha Centauri A system, about 4.37 light years from Earth. So it's four light years from Earth.
Wouldn't we want to go further away?
No, because I think it'd be too cold to survive. Something.
I always thought Mars was behind us.
I haven't learned the solar system since third grade.
No, but that sounds right. I don't doubt that you're wrong. Is Mars in front?
It's almost as big as Jupiter.
You're right. It's Mercury, Venus, Earth,
yeah.
Mars.
Okay. Pandora is almost as big as Venus.
Gotcha.
You were saying?
Okay. Jupiter.
Jupiter.
That's what it looks like. It's okay. Well, I mean, like, it's like, well, like three quarters
of
the size.
I need you to, hold on. I beat Jackson as a science fact. So.
He did.
Oh,
he did.
Nice job, man.
Yeah. I thought that's Mars good. Was behind us, and he's like, I don't think it is. But when he explained it, made perfect sense. I was like, I'm just going to stick to my guns on this one. I was right. You're an idiot. You'll never
that's
be an astrologist.
I don't learn about that. Like I said, the last time I learned about the planets was third grade.
Okay. I have scientific problems with that then.
Hold on. Back to what works. We're still in what works. Please,
let's get through this.
Please, it made $1.5 billion by the end of 2020, making it the highest grossing movie. 2022 when it was out for 2 weeks. So that's good on that one. It's currently the fourth highest grossing film of all time. So something works,
right?
I think
I don't think that
no.
Like
I got it. I got finish your thing.
Oh, I was just gonna say I don't think that the story was terrible. I think like our criticisms are very valid where it's like it's very similar to the first movie, but I was still engaged most of the movie. I was enjoying it. And like even the fights, the stuff like that, very, very well choreographed, I would say. So, you know, I'm going to give James Cameron some credit on that one.
Third act saves this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
A very engaging, interesting one, but there are still some things like you're like, okay, we're near the end, and then they do something and they extend it for 30 more minutes when you're like, they're doing this, they're doing what they just fixed.
No, I was like, okay, this is the end of the movie, 45 minutes left, and I was like, whoa,
it was super cool, right? What works, what I was tapping my head for because I figured it out. I think what works to make this an international sensation is that the script is so simple and the plot is so straightforward that in any language, in any translation, you will understand and fully appreciate it. And that's why some lines for us are fucking stupid in English, because then when they translate it, they can make it sound better. Like the general has this dumb fucking line where he goes, I'm going to be nice once and then I won't be. But he says it like that monotone. He's not threatening him. Like he was threatening him, but it was monotone. But when you have someone dub it, you have it translated and they make it sound more impressive, you're going to make him a more dominant villain because you can change it slightly to be the same thing, but be better. They gave you a lot of canvas space for when the translation, it dominates.
The international value of this film is definitely what brings it up there in terms of like high grossing.
It doesn't look like anyone.
Right.
So that way everyone can like it.
But, and it also frames Americans as the bad guy, which is in other countries is the case. Right. Yeah. And so it sells well to different countries, especially like China. Mm-hmm. Right. And also this movie is like one of the first ones to fully dub for like, almost every country it releases in, like, actually get, like, voice actors dubbing it and not just, like, subtitles, right? And, like, they did it in every country. Normally, they do it for, like, the main languages. Like, but they did it for, like, 100-some languages, which is f***ing crazy.
I think that's where a lot of the budget went, too.
Probably. I mean, you had to pay a lot of voice actors, right?
Yeah. But that's what works with it. Does anyone have anything else before we jump into this part?
I said what I need to say, I think.
I'm going to...
The world of Pandora is like interesting, right?
It's interesting.
It's like cool.
It's not 3.5 hours interesting. No. There goes my Friday night interesting.
Right.
Let's go into what doesn't work. My God, when a movie is past 3 hours, there has to be something for it. The Irishman failed because it was an interesting movie that was stretched out for 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Endgame was less of a failure because it was 3 hours and 2 minutes and it had 15 films of prep for it. And it was like, okay, I guess we got to sit through it. And every scene for the most part was like, it's referencing this movie. Here you go with this one. And it's like, it rewards you for watching all of them. Still a little long in some areas, you could cut it. Even that's like, but that does a 3 hour movie like with more. There are so many scenes in this movie. Which either is like, we can just add this into the scene that's currently happening, or just take it out completely because it really doesn't develop anything. There's one scene in particular that I've brought up a couple times. The daughter, Kiri, is like upset because of people think she's a freak and everything like that. And so she's like making food with the mom. And she's like, is everything all right, daughter? And he goes, everything's fine. And then she walks off. And then the mother stares out. And then that's the scene. Like, that was like 50 seconds. We could have cut that out, right? That saves us time, right? Mm-hmm. We could cut those scenes out. Cut down the whale scene maybe a little bit. We get it.
They put a lot, I mean, James Cameron did this in Avatar 1. They put a lot of emphasis on just showing you the environment, showing you these minuscule details that, I mean, it adds to the movie, but when you kind of weigh, like, I want this or do I want my time? It kind of leans more towards the time.
Which is awful because this thing is visually stunning. There's a lot of good with it. And when we give our ratings, I think everyone's going to be shocked that it's not going to be that low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you can't. This movie does a lot right.
Like, it has a coherent plot. It has interesting characters. The acting is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The visuals are really f-ing good. It's just, James Cameron is just a little uninspired, I feel like.
Oh, don't worry. For the third movie, they're going to the Fire Navi and they're going to be a little more aggressive because of fire.
I think it definitely needed a different villain. I think it needed a slightly different ending.
Yeah.
And it would have felt so much more like impactful because I mean, I had this criticism with the boys and I know you guys will understand what I mean is we ended where we started.
Yes. That was the first thing Cameron said when we walked out.
The only difference was,
they're in water now.
Well, they're in the water now and there are kids who seem to be the new, like, kind of main characters. Not main character, but we have
more main characters.
Yeah, we basically got some plot and then nothing new.
Now, I said this to you guys, and I feel like it still makes sense. This feels like it was a 6-episode special because the first 2 hours are very slow in development, like a show would be. And you know how often it's like, get to the third episode, it all works out. And then you're like, oh, this show is amazing. Breaking Bad is really good. I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
The first 2 hours are so slow, so like little development. They're going to learn how to ride these things. They're going to learn how to ride these things, but in a different location. They're going to talk to the chieftain. They're going to learn how to ride these things in a different location. They should know how to ride them at this point. We've been an hour and a half in. They're going to learn how to ride them near whales. This guy's going to attack by a whale. This guy gets saved by a whale. And all of it's like very slow when you really look at the movie.
Yeah.
And then the last hour happens, and you're like, where the fuck was this? This is where it's moving at a clip. Everything's happening. Right. And it's not a rewarding, oh, it all built up to this. No, like half the scenes weren't attached.
Yeah.
And then the final hour, I'm like, this is, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But just, it is so slow.
It's a bit of a slog.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit of a slog. But overall, we all had a fun time. Anything else you guys want to talk about? What didn't work?
I wanted to talk about
Crab Robots back into what works.
Back into what works. Yeah. Baller. When he went
when a robot awesome. Punched its knuckles. That was great. The military man is just like an uninspired bad guy.
It's stupid. Yeah.
I wish he had an even more gruesome death than he did in the first one. Like, I wish he was like slowly getting pulled into a propeller like Syndrome, but they show every second of him getting chopped into a bunch of little bits. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been a rewarding experience for the audience.
That would have been awesome.
I don't like how they made such a big point about the fingers in this movie. That was not a thing in the first movie.
Yeah, because it made me self-conscious. I'm my sure pinkies.
In the first movie he had five fingers, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense at all. They design new bodies that they're just transferring memories in. Why genetically would they be like, let's just add a finger if we're trying to blend in?
I think
add a finger.
And this is not me excusing. I think they said something like, well, they mix it with your human DNA and so that way you can go into the body. Just notice some slight differences. But I think visually it's just so. This is Jake Sully.
So the only difference is that they have five fingers. That's the only difference between normal Na'vi and Avatar Na'vi?
Well, all the military people had their... Oh, I figured out the thing I hate the most about this movie.
The sunglasses?
No, the sunglasses. That goes back into what works. Yeah. The thing that doesn't make any fucking sense about this movie, and this is why I do not... I'm never going to watch Avatar 2 again. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to watch Avatar 2 again. The clones of the military men and women, there were two women, they also died. They had their tattoos... on their Na'vi bodies.
They did.
When tattoos are not a genetic thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So did they tattoo again onto the Na'vi?
Absolutely. Or
they
went,
let's move the tattoo genes they have over so that way they look the same.
Those were also genes. Uninspired characters. And this is actually the thing I was going to say about what doesn't work is a lot of the dialogue for a lot of the characters was so bad.
Oorah.
They were like, oorah, yeah. Yes, Sergeant, stuff like that. It was so stupid. There's a couple of examples in particular where I was like, this is the dumbest, most cliche thing ever. When Kiri was, she passed out because she was like listening to the earth or something. She wakes up, someone wakes her up and she's like, I was doing that thing again, wasn't I? It's like, dude, just tell us what you were doing. Like,
I don't want to wait 2 years for the third movie I don't want to watch to figure this out.
Exactly. And then another one was in the middle of the end fight. There's one of the whale hunters who's like one of the main bad guys.
He's Australian.
Yeah, he's Australian. They're losing the fight and he's like, somebody do something. And then they actually start like winning a little bit. And I'm like, why does him saying somebody do something where it's probably not really even audible to anyone around him cause a change in the fight? That's just the dumbest like dialogue choice, in my opinion.
I agree.
Well, there's so I just like briefly scanned over this Wikipedia page just because I just looked at it. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of lore with Pandora.
Pandora, please.
The Na'vi bloodstream is slightly acidic at around 5.25 to 5.75.
That's a dumb fact.
Humans are 7.35. Yeah, like, why do we need to know that? Or, this is funny, though. There's just, like, one section called Na'vi, and it's just two sentences. I don't know why the second sentence is important to the Na'vi. Yeah. The Na'vi are humanoid creatures that inhabit Pandora along with other creatures. They use animals ranging from dire horses to even viper wolves.
Even viper
wolves? To what person would that mean anything to?
Now, human beings, they are known as the dominant species on Earth. Some of them prefer tacos.
I bet you they're trying to do like a Star Trek thing where like, you know, people actually bother to learn the language and like know everything about everything.
That's my main complaint about Avatar is it feels like James Cameron looked at all these franchises and went, I want to do that. I want to do that. But he didn't have
the books
enough
or
of
anything.
An idea for it. Like, he maybe had a storyline, but he doesn't have the world fleshed out, which is a problem.
You know what makes those three Lord of the Rings movies, whether they're your cup of tea or not, what makes those three so successful and a fully complete story?
And even long.
And 3 hours plus, and they've extended versions that people prefer to watch because of how good the story is because they were adapted from fucking books that have the story laid out.
Not wrong to make your own source material. In fact, we encourage it.
But make it interesting.
But have an idea. It feels like he threw away half the lore. We go into this movie. Do you remember the Turok Makto from the first movie?
No.
You
what
don't?
Is that?
So at the end of the movie, he has to like tame this biggest, like there's only been five
really big
to prove that he's like loyal or whatever, right? And at the end of the movie, he's like, but the tribe doesn't need Turok Makto anymore. You know, that was that time. And he kind of like retires it, right? And then in this movie, they just kind of like throw it around. They're like, yeah, I'm Taruk Makto, you know, gotta go be it.
Do you know who this guy is? Do you fucking know who this guy is? Where's his fucking
spot? Made sense when she was like, my husband was Taruk Makto. But then like randomly in like the first fight, like someone just like brings it up. And it's like, you're the chief. You don't need to like mention that you're Taruk Makto. But right, it's just there's a lot of lore that it feels like James Cameron just doesn't really give a shit about. Yeah. That he made.
Yeah. Like,
it's your universe, man.
I'm done.
I'm talking about it.
Talking about this.
Yeah, that's okay. Fair.
In the sense of like, I don't have anything else to say that will be positive or even develop anything.
Like, I'm just making myself more upset.
I'm just getting more upset.
Right.
Do yourself a favor. Just watch a review of it. And if you did, hey, there you go. But yeah, if you want to see it, you could look at the best scenes online. It's an amazing movie. If you desperately want to see
it, if you're
going to
see it,
see it on the big
though.
Screen.
In
see it on
IMAX.
Big screen. IMAX.
Not standard. This film was filmed for IMAX, you can tell.
Yes.
You know?
And there's only like, the visuals looks really good, and the parts where it dips, it doesn't even look bad. It just looks like nothing looks real, so it looks like a video game cutscene, but it doesn't look like, it looks like one of those really high
very
def
few
ones.
And far between.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even picture those scenes.
Yeah.
You're talking
it's like
about.
The, it's like the two scenes where like they're standing on the trees, and he tells his son, like, wait here with the things. And I was like,
oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't look bad. It just doesn't look real at all.
I think those nighttime scenes are more difficult to do because they have that forest that, like,
yeah,
is like,
we learned that from She-Hulk. Speaking of She-Hulk, She-Hulk got an Oscar nom.
What?
Not Oscar nom, award nomination for best special effects.
Yeah, this world is
for
beyond
best
savable.
Special effects.
Beyond
like the CGI and all that.
We've hit an all-time
low. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane. I guess they didn't have a lot to choose from this year.
I feel like they did.
What do we give this out of 10 mega space whales? I'm going to give this a 7.2, and that's just because it is so long.
I thought about this a lot. I was going to give it an 8.2. I'm going down to an 8.
Okay.
Just a flat
8. I was going to give it an 8.2. I was debating whether I wanted to go to an 8 or keep it like 7, 8, 7, 9, but I think 8 is a good place to be at.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the watch.
So
I was glad I watched it. I don't think I'll watch it again.
It's really low.
No, I really liked it. It can't go lower than a 7. No one should give this like a 4 or a 2. It's a phenomenal film visually. Mm-hmm. Just, man, I'm going to be nice once, yeah, 7. And then I won't 7, be nice.
3. I think the audience rating we determined was like what? It was
92.
92. 76 for critics. I guess we're critics, gentlemen.
We're critics.
We'll stay critics.
We'll stay critics for now. Get away from us, audience members. We're critics.
I'll criticize you, I swear to God.
And now next week, get excited. Crunch your toes up, boys, because we will be watching Megan. Except we won't be.
Aww.
I threw a little M. Night Shyamalan twist at you because we will be reviewing Knock at the Cabin. Now
you suck. I want to see Megan.
I know. I don't really want to watch Knock at the Cabin, but you two will do, so...
You don't want to watch that?
I
think it'll be good, actually.
I hope it's
maybe
good.
Maybe we should do a perspective at the end of every episode, looking forward to next week's movie. What are we hoping to see? What do we think it's going to be like?
I have no clue what this movie's about.
Really? You don't remember the trailers?
No, Dave I remember Batista the trailer. I just don't understand like their motive. You know?
I think
that's probably the main plot point.
Right? I think because the thing is that they have to kill one of them, one of the two dads and the daughter to save the world. I think, in a fun twist, they're going to kill the small child. They're going to kill the daughter.
That would be an M. Night Shyamalan twist, yeah.
But it's not like a brutal thing. It's just like Dave Bautista's like, did you pick? And they're like, yeah. And right before the dad says, I'll do it, the daughter says, I'll do it. And he just f***ing point blank shoots it. And it's like, all right, guys, you're good. And then he leaves.
Is this a time travel movie?
I don't know.
I think it might be. That's my guess. Like people from the future come knocking at the cabin because they need to fix the future by killing one of
these
people.
That's interesting.
Why else are they like, we need to kill one of
you? Like Hitler 2.0 in the future.
Yes.
And that's why they need to kill
maybe.
Him.
There's second Hitler. There's robot Ebola.
No.
I think it'll be good, though. I think we'll enjoy it. More than Avatar 2.
That's not a hard hurdle to jump over. Thank you so much. Get ready for more Season 9. And as always, we love you dearly. And remember, if you wake up with your pants a little wet, you didn't piss yourself. That's just the way of water. Take care.
Take care.
Eat your vegetables.
What the f*** does that have to do with Avatar 2? Oh, who is your favorite?
Hero-less hero, who is your favorite?